We now bring to these microphones David James. He has a report of an issue that needs to be dealt with and understood by the body of Christ, especially the way it deals with the biblical truth of God's Word, helping us to understand every issue that we discuss here when we have David James behind these microphones. David, let's get right underway. A couple of weeks ago, we discussed a major two-week meeting in the Vatican there with the bishops, over 200 of them coming together with the Pope. They had some very interesting discussions, some very interesting results. Remind our listeners what took place then.
Sure. Great to be with you again, Jimmy. The official title of the synod that was held by the bishops 2 weeks ago was the Pastoral Challenges of the Family in the Context of Evangelization. Now, that's a mouthful, but the idea is mainly that they were discussing various issues as it relates to the family, what constitutes a biblical family. Do families with same-sex partners and children, do those constitute families that the church can have some kind of pastoral care for? And another thing about the last word in their title, evangelization, in the Catholic Church, that means something different than what you and I would mean. But that would mean for them would be a way to either keep people in the church or to bring new ones into the church, or to just make things more palatable to those, even in other religions, to make the Catholic Church acceptable.
Well, in an article that you sent me, gave me attention to, I was able to look at, in Christianity Today, it's discussing a new and very unusual development coming out of the Vatican, connected directly to this meeting between the bishops and the Pope that ended last week. Talk to us about that.
Well, that's right. On Monday, Christianity Today came out with an article, and it was clearly a follow-up to this, because not everybody, not all the bishops were happy with what came out of that synod. And they didn't have any official decisions, but they were changing some stances on the church toward homosexuality, also the issue of divorce and annulment, because if you're divorced in the Catholic Church, you're not able to partake of communion. But if the church annuls your marriage, meaning that it never existed officially in the eyes of the church, then you can participate in the Eucharist. Now, what has happened in, as a result of this, the Pope has called in some leaders, from Christian leaders from all over the world, including some Protestant leaders, to discuss this whole issue and get the input from various people of what their view is of the church, which is very unusual, because the church tends to stand completely upon its own teaching authority, its own tradition, and its own understanding of the Word of God under the direction of the Pope. In my opinion, having watched this for a long time, this is a huge development.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. It must be a very important development that this is coming about. I don't know if you want to mention who some of those well-known people are, but why in the world were they invited to this three-day meeting there at the Vatican? Any special reason behind it?
Well, I do think, you know, just so that people have an understanding of what is actually going on in the world in what we would consider the last days, I mean, I don't think it's wrong to mention names, because Christianity Today mentions the names. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, we have inside information. One of the most well-known would be Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, and of course he has a lot of things going with even global initiatives, and he's a very controversial figure in the Southern Baptist Convention. There's another one from the Southern Baptist Convention, Russell Moore. He took the place of Richard Land, who until last year was the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission of the Southern Baptist Church. Then there's a man named N.T. Wright, who's probably one of the most well-known theologians of this generation. He's now retired, but he has been an Anglican bishop, and is very, very well known, and a lot of his writings are used in seminaries. So those are three very well-known Protestants who are actually taking part in this.
And why do you think they were the ones selected by the Vatican to meet there for this three-day meeting?
Well, to be honest, I think it's because they're probably the three of the most influential people, three of the most influential Protestants in the world today. Obviously, Rick Warren with The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church, one of the best-selling books, to be honest with you, one of the best-selling books in the world next to the Bible, translated into many, many languages, with global initiatives that he's worked on in Africa, with Russell Moore and his position in the Southern Baptist Convention. Obviously, the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest Protestant denomination in the United States and also very large worldwide. And then with N.T. Wright having so much influence as a theologian, and he's having a tremendous influence on this next generation of guys coming out of seminary. So I think these are actually very critical, and for his purposes, I think the kinds of people that you want if you're going the direction that he seems to be going.
And he, of course, talking about Pope Francis. David, a lot of people may not be aware of the three really significant developments of the last 50 years in the Catholic Church. Can you take a moment just to remind our listeners of these issues and then comment on this coming meeting in light of these issues?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first one I would put, I would say, would be Vatican II, which happened from 1962 to 1965. It basically changed the face of the Catholic Church in the world. Prior to that, basically the Catholic view was that salvation was found only in and through the Church. So to be saved, you had to be baptized in the Catholic Church and become a Catholic. That all changed at Vatican II. The Mass was changed from Latin to the local languages or the vernacular. There were a lot of changes in terms of attitudes toward those of other religions. For example, referring to the Jewish people and Muslims, those who are of the Abrahamic faith, the three major Abrahamic faiths, in some way or another being related to one another, and even going so far as to even including the idea of those who are in Hinduism or in other religions living up to whatever light they have. So that's Vatican II. In 1994, there was evangelicals and Catholics together, which was basically almost an attempt to undo the Reformation, and basically people, very well-known Protestants and very well-known Catholics coming together and agreeing that Catholics and Protestants are essentially brothers and sisters in Christ without making any distinction of the idea of being born again through faith in Christ. And then in 2009, I believe it was the Manhattan Declaration, which had to do with the family. And again, once again, Chuck Colson leading this, along with some other major Protestants and major Catholics coming together, standing on the family. Now, here you have just a few years later, another major issue with the family. And now you have the Pope personally discussing these things. This is the first time that I'm aware of that the Pope himself has been involved in these kinds of discussions with those outside the Catholic Church.
David, you've studied Catholicism for over 30 years. You've been watching the developments from the sidelines that actually go back to the 1960s, as you started with Vatican II. Where do you think this and all that may be happening in these discussions there at the Vatican in Rome, in light of biblical prophecy in the end times, which way may it be going? What are we looking for?
Well, here's the thing that we haven't discussed yet, and this is the direct answer to your question. Not only have Protestants been called in, but Jewish rabbis have been called in, members of the Sikh faith, members of Hinduism, members of Islamic faith, and various other people in various not just denominations, but radically different religions are also being called in to be a part of this discussion. So the point being, we are moving toward a convergence that you and I have been talking about for about 10 years now. Looking at what is happening, what role could the Catholic Church and other churches play? How is it possible that there could have all the religions of the world moving toward the supra-religion, the one-world religion of the tribulation? And I'm not saying this is it, but I am saying that this is the kind of thing exactly that would have to happen for the stage to be set for that to take place. Otherwise, there would be no way that these different religions would come together. And now, around this particular issue, you have finally a foundation that's leading that direction.
Wow. Very, very important insight from David James. By the way, that supra-religion foretold in Revelation chapter 17 and will be headquartered in the city of Rome, Italy. David, thank you so very much for your research, buddy. You're headed out for the Philippines, are you not?
That's right. I'll be doing 3 Christian education conferences at a very large Christian school and college, and then I'll be going to Word of Life Philippines to talk about current theological issues, just exactly the things that we talk about every week here.
Well, Journey's mercies to you, my dear friend. We'll be praying for you as you're out there and hope to be able to make contact with you while you're there in the Philippines. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Talk again next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Look forward to it.